Well, hey, let's get started, guys. Some more handouts are coming. If you'd like one, he'll be here in a minute. Appreciate you coming. My name's Paul Rebert. I'm the lead pastor of First Baptist Church in Danville, Illinois. And I count a privilege just to be able to share with you this morning. I was kind of surprised that this would even be an issue. I don't know about you, but my kids, they're always just reciting verses. We travel down the road, you know. They just start giving testimonies in the car, and you know how it is. If it's a long trip, they break out into Handel's Messiah, you know, they have time. So I was kind of surprised. You kidding me? Shut up! You know how it is. You're grabbing them and throwing stuff in the back and threatening them. Now, you know, the fact is this. This is a struggle for us, and I want to just be straight out front with you. I struggle here just like everybody else. And so there's not like this token righteous man who's like really good at it. I think that actually I was bothered that God wanted me to do this. And Harold said, would you? And I'm like, well, not really. I don't really. Okay, I'll do this one. And I realized that maybe that's why God had me talk to you. Because I'm broken just like you are. And, you know, I know some people, they think the pinnacle is having their kids pray the Lord's the child's prayer beside the bread at night. Have you ever heard the child's prayer? Now I lay me down to sleep. Lord, I pray my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, Lord, I pray my soul to take. What kind of prayer is that? What kind of prayer is that? No wonder your kid's running, screaming at night afraid. You pray stuff like that. That's horrible. I'm telling you, that's bad. Okay, I want to do this to begin. I think that it really would be good just to admit we're all broken. And so let me ask you, what are some struggles that you have?
15 different
directions. Yes. That's a good one. Amen. If that's what you too. Okay, good. Someone else. Anybody else have a struggle? Yes, sir. Being the leader. Trying to lead your wife and kids to do this. Thank you. Someone else.
Time to study
for it. Okay. Yes, very good. Yes, sir. Yeah, if you got kids in sports, I mean, it's over. My son's playing a basketball tournament today. I understand that. Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah. And you know what? When the evangelist comes in and preaches, you feel a bunch of guilt, but you're like, God, what am I supposed to do? I'm just saying how it is for me because I'm a pastor. I got meetings. That's awesome. Thank you. That's right, man. Because that factors in other things, right? When you try to disciple and leader, admitting you're wrong, and then it's a whole mess there. It's awesome. Someone else? Yes, sir. Okay. That's a healthy fear. Most people teach it, whether it's right or wrong, just go. And someone yells amen. It sounds like church sometimes. God help us. It's very good. Yes, sir.
Family devotion. Getting everybody together. Family
devotion. Yes. Yes, sir. A couple more here. Yes. Have you ever had little kids and all of a sudden, this is mine, one starts laughing. Then the other one's laughing. Go to your bedroom. We're going to really pray to God.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're six. You go to your bedroom. We're going to pray. I'm sorry. I don't want to leave. You go. You know, that's right. In a serious attitude and reverence. That's very good. Yeah. Especially as a parent. So I guess I want to just say today that I don't have all these solutions. My prayer is the Holy Ghost will take something today and give you something. And I want again just reiterate, I don't have all this right. And don't think that because you're doing something wrong, your kids won't pray. Well, Lord, if I do wrong, my kids are hopeless because they have a dad that prayed and I've heard all the stories. No. God can work in your child's life in spite of you. And there's no magic formula. I want to be really careful when I say this. I hope you understand what I mean. Sometimes when we hear an evangelist preach, we get Facebook pastor or Facebook Dave Young or Facebook Paul Rebert. You know what I mean by that? Has your wife ever said, man, these ladies, you know, look on the Facebook, they have these incredible meals and I don't have that. And I'm like, baby, that's like once a week, once a month. And they took a picture, right? And they put it on Facebook. And that's not how they live. That's not how every meal is, right? I'm going to give you some good stories, guys. I got bad stories. I got stories of failure. And so when you hear these stories in church, we're like, man, I must be a horrible reprobate. I need to do better. We could always do better, but we got to realize sometimes we get Facebook snaps. Then you're thinking, man, my life's falling apart. And I'm just telling you, we can become discouraged by not having what someone else has. God didn't put Dave Young in charge of your house. He put the man he wanted in charge of your house, and that's you. Your wife doesn't need Dave or Paul. She needs you. And so do your kids. And I think sometimes we're bothered by that. And this is a process. I've just begun. And by the way, I'm learning, and my kids are young. I have a teenager this year. She's going to go hear Dave Young at Kobiak. First time. Who needs a handout? Put your hand up. We got some here. Amen. I see those hands. We'll just pray right now. I'm sorry. I put the hand up in the air. Awesome. Sorry, guys. I thought, man, if we get 50, we'll be glad, didn't we? All right. You may have to share with someone else. Okay, three thoughts this morning I want to give you as we begin. And I hope that we started the right way. I mean, sometimes we're so discouraged about this thing. Here's the first one. Before you can pray. First point, I got three. Here's the first one. Before you can pray. If you go home and you just cold turkey it, I'm telling you, it may not be as easy as you think. And I think sometimes we do that to our detriment. Anybody else need one? Oh, we're out. I'm sorry. Oh, we're okay. Well, we'll leave it at the back, though. Here we go. We got to get going. Number one, before you can pray, my father and two brothers were hunting with me, and I was born in Winchester, Virginia, and we were hunting at a place called the Smiths. It was an awesome time to be out with my dad, and I remember they all hunted the back part. Anybody else hunting here? That's awesome. And Danville is like me and one other guy. Maybe it was a girl. I was sitting up front, and we just dropped in the woods really quick, and I'm sitting there at age number, I was probably 20 years old, on a log, you know, real good hunter here. We just dropped in the woods one evening, and goodness gracious, here comes three doe over the hill. Now, I'm not a doe hunter now. I'm in Illinois. We don't shoot little dogs, by the way, out in Illinois like you Virginia hunter do. But I was there, and a doe came up over the ridge, and she had two yearlings with her. And all of a sudden, 50 yards from me, she stopped. And these two little yearlings were all battling around, you know. When they saw Mama stop, they stopped too. And she made out my silhouette, and she began to do what with her head? You know, bob her head. You know what those two little guys did? They looked at me. And they began to portray some of the same mannerisms their mother did. Now, you know what? They didn't see me. And they didn't see her for much longer anyways. Amen, you know. But the thing is this. That took a little while, guys. The thing is this. She was teaching them how to live. And she was teaching them things that would one day protect them from dying. Here's my first thought. Before you can teach it, you've got to live it. Perhaps the best passage on parenting in the entire Bible is Deuteronomy 6. Would you turn there with me? Deuteronomy 6. Before you can teach it, you must live it. You got to look. I want to be found. What I say, I want to come from the Bible. Deuteronomy 6. I don't know any dad that wouldn't say, I want my son to grow up surrendered and choose like Joshua. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. You ask me what I want in life right now. I got three kids. I want to know God and to serve God. That's what I want more than anything. What about your church? I love my church, but I got three kids. I want to grow up and know God. I don't know any dad that wouldn't say as Joshua, it's for me and my house, I'll serve the Lord. Or want his son to think from day to day according to your faith be it unto you, and so they're a man of prayer. I don't know any dad that doesn't want his daughter to cry as Isaiah 64:1-4, oh, that thou would rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow at thy presence. I don't know any father who wouldn't want their daughter to be praying for the power of God to fall. So here's my question for you. There's seats up here if you guys want. Okay. Where's the disconnect? Here's the question. Where's the disconnect between the father's desire and the child's actions? Where's the disconnect between a man who wants his son to pray and wants his wife to be a woman of prayer and the fact that his wife does pray and his children who don't pray? Where's the disconnect? Here it is, Deuteronomy 4, verses 7 through 8. I'll read them to you. And thou, verse 5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou liest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes." Stop. Did you read that phrase in verse number 6? "And these words which I command thee this day shall be" where? Okay, before it gets to the parenting, where does God begin? He begins with the parent. Before, gentlemen, you can teach it, you must live the faith life. Before you teach it, you must live the faith life. "These words that I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." This is where effective fatherhood, successful fatherhood begins. Before a man can teach his son to love God, he's got to love God. Before a man can lead his family to pray, he's got to be a man of prayer. It's not simply that fathers are poor communicators. "Well, you know, Pastor, I don't feel like I'm effective at communicating, and that's why my kids don't love the Lord. If I could just communicate more clearly my passion for God." Never think that. You're a very good communicator. You're a very good communicator. The problem is you've communicated what you have. And your children oftentimes are worshiping at the same grove and idolatrous place that you are. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm just telling you, they caught what you did. That's why they do what they do. Because you're a great teacher. Because you're a great teacher. Church dad on Sunday doesn't fool God or your children. You must model the faith life so they can learn it. The fact is, you're very good at modeling. That's exactly what this passage is teaching. Modeling. As fathers worship at the altar of the prime time dribble, at the altar of comfort, at the altar of hedonism, their children have simply bent their knees at the same altar. Lip service Christianity, "do as I say, not as I do," does not work. Do you have an all-consuming love for your God? Are you satisfied with your God? Why would anyone, Jim Berg said, want your God if He doesn't satisfy you? And I would add to that, why would any child pray to Daddy's God if Daddy's God doesn't satisfy? If Daddy's God doesn't answer Daddy's prayers, if Daddy doesn't have the faith to pray to Him, why would your child pray to Him? I would say before you can teach it, you must live it. Be right with God. Here's the second thought under that first point before you pray. Before you can teach it, you must remove what hinders it. Could you take your Bible and go to 1 Peter chapter 3? You've got to remove what hinders it. See, a lot of guys want to pray, but they're not even in the place where their family can pray. And come on, let's just be transparent. Your house doesn't come home and everybody's still with the Spirit. And the kids just love God. And everybody wants to just sing kumbaya. It's not how life works. We come home and we're all a mess. We're all battling our flesh, battling being filled with the Spirit. What does the Bible say? It says this, before you can teach it, you must remove what hinders it. Be right with your family. Here's my question. 1 Peter 3:7, "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and be heirs together of the grace of God, that your" what? One more time. "That your" what? "Prayers be not hindered." Whoa! Is there any sin that separates you and your wife? Is there any area where you've given place to the devil? And the devil's ruling in your marriage. How can you pray to your wife if she don't even like you, you know? How can you pray to your wife when you guys aren't getting along? Do you have any relationship Do you have a relationship where you can discuss things openly, when you can be transparent? Our brother said, and we've talked at the beginning about struggling, about being vulnerable. So we fake it. Like your wife doesn't know you battle and struggle. And guys, what we need to do is come and say, sweetheart, what's wrong? What's between us? And get that out of the way. And when you get things out of the way, you can actually pray with your wife over things. You got to clean it up. Remove what hinders it. Take your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. Ephesians 6 and verse number 4. What do we read there? And this is again a common passage. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to what? But bring them up in the nurture, the verbal instruction and admonition, the physical instruction of the Lord. Now what else does it say? Provoke not your children to what? Wrath. If your kids are angry with you, if you have things between you and your children, how can you pray together? I'll tell you, this past Christmas our family had like a week together. And families like fish. After 3 days, it starts to stink, you know. We're not used to spending a whole week together in a house all together. Generally, someone's working or someone's at school and we all get in. And after a while, it just got bad in the house. Does anybody testify it happens to your house too? Maybe it's just my family. And we began to fight and it wasn't good. And finally, I said, this is not going to work in our home. So I had our whole family come out to the middle of the living room and we did a huddle, you know. The kids and my wife, and I said, guys, we cannot treat one another like this. I'm yelling, and I shouldn't yell. I'm raising my voice. And I said, sweetheart, you know, you, and kids, you know what, you are not listening to us. I said, we're going to ask God to forgive us right now. And all of a sudden, together, my whole family is in a huddle in the middle of the living room, and we're asking God to forgive us, and my son asked his mom to forgive him, and now we have a relationship where someone can pray together. But guys, if you don't have a relationship where it's clean, how do you think your teenage daughter who you yelled at wants to come pray with you? Are you kidding me? Before you can pray, you've got to remove what hinders it. Point number one. Point number two. So they will pray. So they will pray. So we've got our heart right. We got right with our wife or right with our children. We have a place where we can now have a platform where we can pray. So they will pray. Here's my first thought for you. We're going to get to practical things at the end, all right? We'll get to practical at the end. Cultivate an open, spiritually intimate relationship. You need to cultivate an open, spiritually intimate relationship. Can I tell you, gentlemen, what you need to do if you don't do it? Every time you pray for supper, grab your wife's hand. Every time you pray out to eat, grab your wife's hand. Maybe you can't. Because as so many women tell me what their husbands do, my husband only touches me if he wants. So, grab your wife's hand and hold it and cultivate that open relationship. You know, when you go to bed at night, grab her hand. And say, hey, baby, let's just pray for a minute. Can we just pray for the kids real quick? You say, well, she's going to think so. Cultivate that open relationship. Before I left, I have a 12-year-old girl, and she knew I was leaving in the morning, and she ran and she jumped in my lap and sat there and just held me. And then she kissed me. And I said, hey, Brady, look, Daddy's going to go preach. Would you pray for me this weekend? She said, Daddy, I'll pray for you. That's my 12-year-old daughter, and we cultivate that by touching one another all the time. In church, I'll grab a hold of my daughter's hand. She's 12. It's not weird. I don't grab my son's hand. I hold his shoulder, all right? Straight up. I don't want him wanting to hold men's hand, you know. Here's the next thing. Cultivate the faith life. Do you talk about what God does? Do you talk about seeing answers to prayer? Do you talk about how God meets needs? My son comes home and he's not been playing on the team like he wants to play. And I said, hey, son, let's get on our knees and just pray that God gives you a heart to respond the right way because God's doing something in you. And I said, I know it's not fair, son, but you know what? God's up to something good. And my wife sat there. My son sat in the middle. And my wife and I are crying because, you know, and he's just like, God, we're praying. We're cultivating the faith life. You know, you say, well, it's awkward, Pastor. Do you live a life where you openly talk about God, about what God does? Here's the next thing. Cultivate a praise book. Cultivate a dream book. This is where we, I was going to bring mine. Our family writes down, not all the time, not consistently, we write down things that God does. We write down things that God does. Take your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, we just talked about teaching your children certain things. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12, Deuteronomy 6:12. Say, well, Pastor, I don't want to cultivate a praise book because then my kids will ask God for things and He won't answer. Because they're asking the James 4:7 prayer, ask it to consume it upon your own lust. Wait a minute. Didn't you learn not to do that? Do your kids have to learn not to do that? Look at verse number 12 of Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So you teach them so they won't forget. Verse number 20 and 23. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what meaneth the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments of the Lord I got to give you? Then thou shalt say, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord showed us signs and wonders and great and sore upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh and upon all this house before our eyes. And He brought us out from hence that He might bring us to give us the land which He sware unto our fathers. Look, I want my son asking, hey, Dad, what happened back then? Why is that in the praise book? What did God do? And guys, look, if you don't show them a God who answers prayer, you're not showing them the God I serve. Amen. If you're not teaching about God who comes and He intervenes in your family and heals people or saves your neck, you're not teaching them about the God that we serve. And men who believe tell the stories, guys. Men who believe about the Lord. Part of explaining is the explanation of expectant of righteous expectations. It's explaining the blessings that come from obedience. My family was together and we began to pray for a pool last summer. A little spiritual. We don't want to go to the public pool, and you know why. And then our kids are getting older, so we don't want to go to our friends' pools. And God did not give me a piece to buy a pool. And we're talking a cheap pool. No? We prayed, God, would you? My neighbor walks over to me and says, hey, look, I'm getting rid of my pool. You want it? My kids know what we've been praying for. And he says, by the way, the deck, you can come that too. Just take it apart and take it down to your house. My kids know that. My kids remember what God did. The pool that we're getting this summer, glory to God, that Dad didn't pay for. My kids know that. Remember one time, my wife also, we were youth pastors, you know, we oftentimes, youth pastors, you know, you just serve for nothing. And our cars didn't work. I mean, God gives pastors cars to teach them and give them sermon illustrations. And we were praying, and I took my car to Walmart to get it worked on, and he said, look, I know you got a bad tire here, but he said, I can't just change that tire. I'm not allowed because the other tires are so bad. Did you know this? You know, I can't change this one. I got to change four because they're all that bad. Well, my wife, I was planning to take her home from Pennsylvania to Wisconsin, where I was a youth pastor at. And I said, sweetheart, I'm sorry. Well, you know, we can't afford that. And all of a sudden, I'm in the middle of Walmart, and there was a millionaire in our church. And he said, look, he said, hey, I heard you're going to Wisconsin. He said, why don't you just take my Lexus? I said, let me pray about it. I open up that Lexus and there's an envelope that $500 to pay for all the gas. And I'm in the middle of Walmart on one of those things that fills the aisles crying. God. But my wife remembers what God did. And when our wives and children see a God moving and have a praise book and hear what God did, and you cultivated a life where we ask and expect, do you think your kids want to pray with you? Cultivate a faith life. Cultivate a heart of prayer for their faith. This doesn't have to do as much with them as it does with you. What time do I end? Can you just tell me? 45 minutes? Someone says, Harold Vaughn says, one of the greatest answers to prayer is more prayer. Would you take your Bibles to Mark chapter number 9? Do you intercede? Now watch this. Do you intercede for your family's spiritual life? Here's a better way to put it. If God answered all the prayers for your wife and kids that you've prayed, what would their prayer like look like? Say it again. If God answered all the prayers that you've prayed for your wife and for your kids, what would their prayer life look like? Well, I don't really pray about that. Well, my question is, if you really want it, you got to ask God for it. If God's put it in your heart, if that's a burden, you're here, so obviously you're burdened about it. Pray about it. Mark chapter 9, verse 14, you know the story. The disciples have been commanded and commissioned to go out and perform miracles. In verse 14, and when his disciples came, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld Jesus, him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. So this big crowd of guys surrounding the disciples, men and women, and Jesus walks up, and of course everybody runs to him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I brought thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they cast him out, that they should cast him out, and they could not." And he answered them and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." So they brought him disciples, and his disciples didn't have the power. They were commissioned, but they didn't have the power. And can you imagine, as this father is telling Jesus the story, he started to cry. And what does he say? Verse number 18, "It teareth him, and he foameth, and he pineth away." You read later, he's suicidal. He tries to cast himself into the fire. How would you feel as a dad when you have this broken son like this? I mean, here's your heart's been real. How much money do you think he spent to help his boy? And Jesus answered, "O faithless generation," verse 19, "how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit, this demon, tear him. And he fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming. Verse 21, and he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire," that's the suicide, "into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." He asked God if you can do anything. Verse number 23. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe." In the Greek it's like, "If I can do anything." If I can. Next part of the verse. "All things are possible if you'll believe." If I can. And the Lord uses this opportunity to teach 12 crusty fishermen, tax collectors, that sometimes it takes more than the normal. Sometimes the problems are big. And you don't just need grace, you need more grace. You don't just need help, you need a miracle. And what does God say to these group of men? Verses 28, they come to him. "Why could we not cast him out?" And he said in verse 29, "Because sometimes this kind can come out forth by nothing but by prayer and by fasting." Guys, sometimes in life, you got to get off the normal prayer schedule and get on the fasting schedule. My wife was struggling with something, and I was just being transparent early in our marriage. And I said, "God, if you don't intervene, I'll not be able to be a pastor." I was praying. And finally, I said, "God, you got to do something." And I began to spend days, lunches, crying out. I remember walking around the gym at our church, fasting for God to do a miracle in the wife of my life. I said, God, you got to intervene in her life. And guess what? God did. Guys, sometimes you got to go and say, God, would you make my son a praying man? When's the last time you fasted that your son or daughter would be a man or a woman of prayer? I'm reminded of the Welsh revival. In less than 1 year's time, 1904 to 1905, Wales saw 100,000 people saved. This great moving of God's Spirit came through the preaching of a 26-year-old preacher named Evan Roberts, who'd prayed for revival for 11 years. Since he was 15 years old, the boy had been praying for revival. So many were converted, and evidence truly changed lives. In a short time, the nation of Wales became known as the land of revival. And you heard about the Wales revival, right? 26-year-old guy praying at age 15. I want my son to be a man of prayer. I want my son to pray more than I do. I want my son to see miracles I never saw. And I'd be just fine with that, wouldn't you, sir? Your son to come and be a man broken in prayer. Stop saving your children from their problems. Teach them to handle it by faith. Faith in the goodness of God. Faith in a God that prays. What did the kid do to you at school this day? Well, I'm calling his dad. Don't do that. That's really going to teach your son how to handle life. Son, bad things happen or people mean, but I'm going to tell you, a God who can move mountains, just go on our knees and pray for them. You see, we are not teaching our children to handle things biblically. And so I don't say this, cultivate a heart of prayer for your own children. So here, before we pray, we have, so they'll pray. And lastly, when you pray. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1 says, Lord, teach us to pray. Sir, do you teach them to pray? Sometimes our family time of prayer, as our brother mentioned, resembles more of a church prayer meeting, right? We're 15 minutes where we list what God hasn't done, 5 minutes where we give empty prayers to a person who cannot help us beside us to impress them, and followed by 10 minutes of talking about something God doesn't care about. That's exactly how the church prayer meeting often is. God help us. Listen, my kids tell me all sorts of requests, right? Pray that so-and-so wins his karate tournament. Okay, we'll pray. I'm not praying for the karate tournament. Doesn't God care about it? I'm not praying that Trevor, his foot, what am I supposed to pray? Lord, pray that Trevor's foot contacts the guy's face and he falls down and so Trevor can get a trophy that makes him feel like he's worth all the glory. He doesn't live for, I'm not praying for that. So I'm going to teach my son to pray. What are we going to pray about? Let's pray Trevor's a testimony. And someone comes to know Christ because I want to pray biblically. I want to pray for God's will. Look, folks, don't let your family prayer time resemble the church prayer meeting sometimes, which is broken. Of all places you can get it right, it's your home. Son, what are we going to pray for there? I'm not praying for a cat per se. I'm praying for God to do His will, not James 4:7 prayers. Pray for God's glory, that in all things Christ might have the preeminence. I want to pray for God's glory. God, it's not about us, it's about you. And folks, when you pray like Joel Osteen preaches, God help us. I'm telling you. What did Washer say? God gave America a prophet for his own religion. Hedonism. A God who gives them whatever they want. I don't want my kids praying like that. Pray for the will of God, not ours. Pray vertical for the horizontal. They bring up a horizontal thing. Say, how can we turn this to God? Here's the next thing. Expect them to pray. Expect them to pray. You teach them to pray, then expect them to pray. Matthew 26:40. I'm coming for landing here. What could ye not watch for me 1 hour? I have an itch here. I'm going to scratch it. Far too long, our kids have been taught that for 1.5 hours a day, you should practice your sports. But when it comes to spiritual disciplines, we have no expectations. Our Christian schools resemble the same paradigm often that the lost world has. And guys, I'm going to tell you this. If you want your kids praying, you must expect kids to pray and you must inspect what you expect, Pharaoh says. That's right. Guys, what do you expect God to do? You know, my kids don't have devotions and I started laying one of those glow devotionals. Hey, did you have devotions yet? No. They started going home and picking up and reading it. Now they read it without me asking. But it just started Now we expect it at our house. Look, we're going to do this. Here's the next thing. Let them struggle in prayer. May I read for you Psalm 13? By that I mean teach them biblical prayer. Why do they stop praying? Because they think God's going to answer every time. You know, I hear a lot of stories this week about God answering prayer. Let me tell you this. We love hearing that, but the fact is, that doesn't happen every time, guys. God says no and wait. Our kids need to know that God says no and wait sometimes. Listen to David cry out in Psalm 13. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? That's more what happens in my life than the stories I hear here. I love hearing the stories of God doing things. But the fact is, that doesn't always happen. And I want my kids to struggle through and learn to pray where God says no and where God says wait and it's okay. Listen, I remember as an 18-year-old boy praying, wondering if God was going to answer my prayer, and God said no to a lot of things. Your kids got to hear no from God. And they got to learn to keep praying. If you have a son or a daughter who wants to serve the Lord, let me tell you this. They have to learn now. What if they go to college and Christian ministry? They're going to learn now that God says no sometimes. And that it's hard sometimes. They're going to work through it. And look at the life of David working through God's choice to say no and God's choice to say yes and remaining silent. So, let's land here. Where did he begin? And I remember at the beginning I said, look, let's not act like this was easy and let's not act like we're all perfect at it. Here's the first thing. Why don't you set a goal? Something that's doable. Look, twice a week, I'm going to stop and I'm going to pray. I don't do it. I struggle sometimes, but I'm going to do twice a week. Or, hey, you don't do anything? Start with Saturday night. Pray for your pastor and your Sunday school teachers, then read the Bible. That's a good plan. Hey, one time is 52 more times this year than last year.
Right.
Take it. Start somewhere. Grab your wife's hand. Here's something, Pastor. My wife doesn't want to pray. Or I'll feel awkward. What if she says no? I'm supposed to leave my house. What do I do? Here it is, okay? Be the leader. Well, she said, be the leader. Sit down and say, you know, I'm not very good at this. And I'm not doing what I should be about. Can we pray tonight? Grab her hand. And you mumble anything out. She's not going to listen anyways. She's going to be so shocked that you decided to pray with her. Guys, start somewhere. Yes, sir, please. Please.
No, I believe in divine intervention. You and I walked over here together. You wondered if you were the right man before this. Our mom didn't ask you to do this. God brought you here to us. This, for me, this prayer advance has been about victory. I've lived my life in doubt and thinking that I'm not good enough. And I've been so consumed with that. You know, I couldn't see how much God has blessed me. You know, I think about my babies. I've got a little boy. He's 3 years old. My little girl's 5. You know, my little girl, I'm not saying they don't sometimes say, you know, God's great, God's good. My little girl, she's saying her own prayers now. Mm. She's speaking them from her heart to God's ears.
Amen.
You know, I realized while you were talking today, it's the thing I like about this. Men come here and speak
Amen.
To our ears, and God comes and speaks to our hearts. You know, and I just sit back here bawling because I realize how much God's blessed my life.
Glory.
And I hope to go home.
Glory.
Go home and live my life new for them. I love
Amen.
You, brother.
Amen. Thank you so much. Let's give him a hand, guys. Woo! Amen. Some of you need some of that right there. The fact is this, brother, all of us struggle praying with our wives. We got to admit we're broken. And we come wounded to be healed. Desperate to be rescued. And some of you need rescued. And I think this, I think some of you would stop and say, sweetheart, can I pray? You have no idea what God would do in your life. See, my wife, a guy told me, he said, look, she never wants to be intimate. If you're in my session, 2 years, I hear this all the time. What have you done to cultivate this? What have you, listen, you're a jerk. You're rude. You care about you. Even in intimacy, you're a selfish man, you know? And what we need is God to deliver us and make us someone who says, sweetheart, look, we got to pray for our kids because if we don't, the devil's going to get them. But if we ask God and believe in faith, God will do something. I'll tell you a testimony. My dad's here. I remember I was at a camp and I was away from God at 16 years old. and we had gone into a service. And God got a hold of my heart. And for the first time, I remember saying, man, I'm a sinner. I need God to change me. And I remember praying, and I was like, what is this? I never experienced conviction like this before. And of course, our church was small. And my dad, the pastor, took everybody to the camp, you know. That was our family vacation. But I walked outside, and there's my dad. He'd not been in the service. He'd been on the side of the hill during the entire service, interceding that God would get a hold of his boy's heart. And God did. Thank you, Dad. I think sometimes we think. All right. Let me finish, and Harold will be upset with me here. How do I do this? And here's the thing. Galatians, I got four, three things there. 6, 8, and 9 says this. Don't be weary in well-doing, right? For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. What is that context? The verse before says this. For if you sow to the flesh, you will of this flesh reap corruption. But if you sow the Spirit, you reap eternal life. That's the quality of life, eternal life, that they might know thee. So you know Jesus Christ if you sow to the Spirit. You know what? You're reaping years of sowing to the flesh of not praying. You begin to sow seeds of prayer. This is a sermon. And guys, what happens is it's going to start to grow in your family. But it starts small. You sow little seeds, it grows into something big. And you say, Pastor, I don't do anything. Mine is broken. Sow seeds to the Spirit of God. And you try to do what's right. And God will grow that thing. You have no idea what God will do. Some practical things, and again, just here real quickly, pray on the spot. Pastor, what do I do? How do I cultivate the prayer life, the faith life? Stop in your car and say, you know what, we need the power of God here. We need God to do something here. Well, God doesn't do anything. What am I going to do? He said no. You keep praying. He may say yes. You keep praying. Pray on the spot. Make a list and pray for them with your children. He said, what do we do in family devotions? Have a praise night. Everybody, you're not allowed to ask God, but you tell God something good he did. Here's another one. Have confession night. I love this night. Kids, you know you're all sinners. Tonight, we're confessing something. You ask God. You tell God one place you're broken. I stole the car. You tell God someplace. And our kids are admitting things. What am I teaching? I'm cultivating a spirit of openness before a holy God. Look, in my family, you don't have to fake it. You're broken and daddy's broken. Let's talk about it. We're not hypocrites here. And just pray together. When we pray together, generally my wife's going to cry. You know, that's how it happens. You ever seen your wife cry for your kids? My kids don't know what to do. They're younger. But all of a sudden, mommy starts praying for my son named Remington. Amen. I got that one in voice. God, would you help Remington to be a man of God? And would you help Remington to be a man of character? Hey, God, my kids don't know what to do when mama starts praying like that. What if dad started praying like that? What do you think would happen to your daughter who you've sinned against? What do you think's going to happen? Guys, I don't think we know what could happen. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, Isaiah 64 says, the things that God prepared for them that wait for Him. I'm tired. I am tired. I said this. Pardon me. I left seminary with more excuses and reasons why God wouldn't answer prayer from my teachers than faith in a God that does answer prayer. I want no Christianity like that. And I don't want my sons and daughters to have that kind of Christianity. And guys, here, you come broken and you admit it. I think God will change your family. Will you receive it today?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to close with this. As I said, my wife, she was not necessarily this super holy, godly Christian when we first got married. I opened my suitcase and this is what she read me. Ephesians 3:14-20. For this reason I bow my knee before the Father, whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to His riches and glory He might grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner man. And the rest of the verse comes. Look, God did a work in my wife's heart. This cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. God help us. God bless you. Thank you, gentlemen.